I'd like to speak to you this morning about generosity. I want to invite you to the book of Romans. We've been there for quite a while, and certainly in the book of Romans, there is in chapter 15 a story about generosity, and I want to start there and then look at quite a few other scriptures this morning. Paul is nearing the end of his missionary travels by the time we get to the end of the book of Romans. He wrote a letter to go ahead of him to Rome. And in this book, he tells them that he wants to come to see them. He tells them several times, and recorded in the book of Acts also, is Paul's longing to go to Rome. And so in chapter 15, he tells them, well, I'm on my way. I want to go there. I want to get to Rome. I've been wanting to come there and preach. And the Lord even promised me that I would be able to go to Rome and preach the gospel. He knew that Rome was key to the spread of the Christian church. And though he had preached across Asia Minor, part of the Roman Empire at the time, he wanted to get to the heart of the Roman Empire, to Rome itself. And so he says, I'm going there next. And that's where God told me I could go. It's going to be my last trip, but I'm going to make it to Rome. But before he goes to Rome, Paul says, but before I get there, and that's what he really wanted to do, he said, I have to do something else. Have you ever really wanted to do something, but you know that you need to take care of some other things before you do? You know, it's like you want to go out and play, but you really know you ought to do the dishes, you know, or whatever it is. Well, Paul was kind of like that. He wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to preach the gospel there. But there's something they needed to do. And Romans chapter 15 tells us what he needed to do and he wanted to do. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. I want to read at verse 25. Would you stand with me as I read these verses? Romans chapter 15, beginning reading at verse 25. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them, for if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray today that as we read this scripture and read the words of Jesus in other places, that our hearts would understand how important it is to have a generous heart, that it is a key to many things in our life spiritually. Help us to hear your word and your truth this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There had been a famine in Judea. After Paul had left and started on his missionary travels, of which we know he made a total of three circle trips and then the one-way trip to Rome, we know that even after he left Jerusalem the first time, that harder times had fallen upon the province of Judea and Jerusalem. Two things were going on that made it pretty rough by about the middle of the first century on the Christians that were in Judea. Number one, and it made it hard on all the people, was a famine that had come across Judea in the middle of the first century. There had been a drought, and the food had not been able to be grown very much. And so there are a lot of people across Judea, Jews and Gentiles and others, who really struggled to make it and have enough to eat. And so that impacted everybody. In addition to that was the persecution that had fallen over the early church in Jerusalem. You remember that very early on in church history, after the day of Pentecost and after a time of the multiplication of the church, that the persecution had started and many of the Christians were made to leave Jerusalem. Some of them were martyred. Some of them were driven out. Some of them left and went other places. And it was a rough time for Christians in the middle of the first century in Jerusalem. Well, when Paul left and went on his missionary travels, he may not have known what was going to happen to them, but he had heard word as he traveled around Asia Minor to the cities that we read about in the book of Acts and recorded in the book of Romans and Corinthians and Philippians and Ephesians and all those letters that Paul wrote in places that he traveled to, that while he was doing all that work and spreading the gospel and many people were coming to faith in Christ, he had heard word that back in Jerusalem things were very difficult. Many of the Christians were having trouble making it, and they were impoverished, and they didn't have enough food. And so as Paul told the story to people as he traveled, there were new Christians in the new church and the spreading church, and they had a heart and a desire to help the Christians that were back in Jerusalem. And so Paul, as he told him the story, says that many people began to take up an offering in order to send it back to those that were in Jerusalem. When Paul told them of how difficult it was in Jerusalem, they wanted to send help. They wanted to do what they can. And not knowing all the circumstances, we know that in several places they received an offering. They collected money to be sent back to the church at Jerusalem and to the people that were there. This story is one of many in the record of the early church of generosity. The privilege to give is one of the greatest blessings that God gives to a Christian. I believe that the privilege of giving, the privilege of sharing and helping others, is one of the greatest blessings that God gives to the church and to people for a number of reasons. Generosity is both a wonderful gift that God gives us, but it's also an important responsibility. Everything that God allows in your life is an important responsibility. Jesus talked about how God has made us stewards of all the things that we have in this life. We're only going to have them for a time. Someday, we're going to give them back. We're going to step into eternity. And for a while, God gives every person a certain amount of possessions, a certain amount of time, a certain amount of talents. And God wants us to use them for His kingdom and for His glory. And when we do that, God blesses that. Jesus said many, many things about giving and about generosity. One of the things that He said that I think is so true, recorded in Acts chapter 20, is this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said that we are far more blessed when we have a giving heart than when we have a taking heart. When we have a heart that wants to help people, when we have a heart that wants to meet needs, when we care deeply about people, the Bible says that's when we are most blessed. It is far more blessed to give than to receive. In fact, Jesus said a great deal about giving. He said a lot about being generous. He said a lot about our hearts and how we look at the possessions that we have. Jesus said more about our possessions when you add them up, when you look at all the stories in the New Testament of what Jesus said about wealth, about possessions, about storing things up, about meeting needs, about caring about people. You put those together, you find that Jesus talked more about our possessions, your possessions, my possessions, than any other topic that Jesus talked about in the New Testament. In His parables, He talked about how do we see our possessions. In His relationship with His disciples, He many times referenced or talked about possessions or what to do about them, or the attitude about them. He talked about taxes. He talked about owing people. He talked about all kinds of things related to finances. Finances and possessions, material things, are important to how we view God. It's important to our world view of who God is, our attitude and our spirit about our possessions. All throughout the Bible, from the beginning to the end, are stories and proverbs and principles about being kind and compassionate and believing that everything we have belongs to God already. So many times in the Bible, we are reminded that all we have belongs to God as Christians, as God's people. We need to look at everything we own, everything in our pockets, everything in our shed, everything in our wallet, everything in our car. Everything that we have belongs to God. That's a biblical view of possessions. That's the view that God wants us to have. And God loans them to us for a time. And all throughout the Bible, we have examples and stories about people who use them wisely for God's glory, and God bless them. God calls us to generosity. One of the cornerstones of the law of Moses was the helping of the poor. When I think of the themes of the law of Moses, we often think about all the thou shalls and thou shalt nots, and there are a lot of them. I can't even begin to try to describe them all to you. If you've read them before, you know what I mean. There's a whole lot of laws and rules in the book of Moses. But one of the recurring themes, one of the cornerstones of the law of Moses, is the call to help the poor. Something that Jewish people were supposed to do was to help people that needed it. They were always to have a heart of compassion. They were always to be looking for the opportunity in order to be a blessing to someone in need. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 35 says, "If one of your countrymen become poor and is unable to support himself among you, help him." Many times we read verses like that in the law of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 15, "If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your brother." You see, we're also told in the law that we can have a certain attitude toward our possessions, that is, to hoard them, to hold on to them, to worry about them, to always be thinking about them and, well, how to get them and how to keep them and how to save them, how to keep other people from having them. But on the other side, God gives us a picture in the Bible about how we see our things, that they already belong to God. So whatever God wants us, we can have an attitude and a spirit of being tight-fisted, or we can have an attitude and a spirit that it belongs to God. These two terms in Deuteronomy chapter 15, one is hard-hearted, refers to a number of things spiritually, but especially in the area of finances. God doesn't want you to have a hard heart about your possessions. He doesn't want it to rule your life. He doesn't want it to dictate your feelings and your opinions and your relationships and your view of the future and your pessimism. God doesn't want your possessions or what you see in them and what they are to dominate your spirit, because it can suck the joy right out of your life. It can rob you of the joy that God wants to give you in your heart and your spirit. If you see everything in your possessions as yours, and you've got to hold on to them, and you've got to have them, and you worry about it, and you're overcome by that, it robs the joy out of your life. You may not see it. You know, if you're in that place, you kind of get there gradually, and you don't understand. You don't see how you come across to people. I mean, there are people, I mean, we all know it. Man, when you see them coming, you're scared to death what they're going to talk about. Well, you know what they're going to talk about. Something negative. It may have to do with their finances. It may have to do because they're hurting and they don't have in their heart that ability to let it go and to trust God. One of the important principles about finances is trusting God. Not being hard-hearted, but tender-hearted. Another word that's in this scripture is the word tight-fisted. That's a good word. All throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testament, there's reference to being tight-fisted. See, we hold on to things, and boy, it's like when we do, we got a fist. And it's maybe a fist, I don't mean physically toward people, but attitude, even within or sometimes with people about what we have. It belongs to me. Don't touch it. Don't talk about it. Don't tell me God's blessed me. Just let me tell you everything I don't have. There's a tight-fisted spirit that can be a part of us. And it's not what blesses us. In fact, if you tendency to that tight-fistedness, it robs you of something that God wants you to have in your heart and your spirit. God wants you to have an open hand, an open fist. I long ago heard a little story, and I think I've said it before, and it's probably an old one, but you know, there was a monkey and there was a banana in the jar, and the monkey wanted the banana so bad, and he put his hand down in the jar and grabbed the banana, but when he went to pull it out, he couldn't get it out, because now his hand was around the banana and it was too big and he couldn't get it out of the jar. But he wouldn't let go of it to get it out. And some people walk around with a jar and a banana in their hand, but they can't get the banana out. It's the way it is with the blessings of God. When you hold on so tight, you'll never enjoy the blessings of God. Somehow God can help you to let go so that He can bless you. There may be somebody here today. There may be some people. Every week it seems like I say the same thing. Satan has a lot of different hooks. For different people, he has different hooks. There might be some people here that Satan has the hook of tight-fistedness. And it's just hard to let go. I just want you to know God wants you to be able to release it and trust Him. And whether or not you'll ever have much or little, your life will be much more blessed and happy and joyful if you can let it go and trust God. And these are the principles that God gives us throughout the Scriptures. Even in the Old Testament, there are many stories, examples of how the people were not to be tight-fisted. Here's one, the farmers were to leave the corners of their fields unharvested. You know, if you're trying to bring in your crops, and man, you want every bushel of wheat out there. I mean, goodness, that's got to hold you through the winter. And well, you want to get it all, but you see, there it was in the law of Moses. You left the corners unharvested. Why? Because there might be somebody hungry that lives in your town. Somebody that crop failed or couldn't work or who knows what. We don't know why, just there were people that were hungry. So they were to leave the corn of the field unharvested so people could come and they could eat. They were to leave olives on the tree. They were to know that there was always something that they could do to leave for someone else. Again, a cornerstone of the law of Moses was generosity for other people. And then Jesus spoke about the poor, helping the poor many times. And I'm going to give a few examples this morning. Compassion was found in everything Jesus did. If I had to choose just a few words to describe who Jesus is, one of them would be compassionate. In His stories, in His relationships, in His actions, He's always caring about people. He's caring about people that are sick, that are demon-possessed, that are troubled mentally, that are having problems in relationship, that are hurting. They all came to Jesus and He just loved them and cared for them and gave them truth and helped them. He was so merciful. He was so compassionate. And He gave us so many solid principles to live by with our giving and how we see people. A few principles I want to... There's four principles that I want to mention this morning about what the Bible says about how we see people in our giving. The first one is this. It's the principle of the least of these. The least of these. Jesus tells us how we're to view people. We're to understand that it's not just the likable people that we're supposed to be kind to, we're supposed to reach out to, but it's the unlovable people. It's the people that aren't as easy to care about. The people that maybe don't deserve to have to be helped. People that don't deserve any compassion. It's the least of these, Jesus said. I mean, you know, it's one thing to love your friends, and He said that too. Anybody can love their friends, but what about your enemies? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, Jesus is talking about the final judgment. You think how important it is that we hear what Jesus said here? Think of it in the context of the final judgment. And He's describing, well, how am I going to separate those that will go to heaven and those that will go to hell? In chapter 25, this is one way that He describes that. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance for the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.'" It's always disappointed me. He never said I was in church on Sunday morning. Didn't say there I read my Bible every day. Now those are things that are good to do and we hope you do. You know what I mean? But what did He say? "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat." Then He goes on. He says, "Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?'" The King will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." The truth is, Jesus calls us to have a compassion for people, for the least of these. I don't know who in your life would be in the category of the most of these. You know, we all have people that are easy to love. There's people out there that are hurting that, you know, we naturally, boy, we, you know, we, you know, they're not only lovable, but they're likable, you know. But Jesus talked also about the least of these, those that aren't so easy to love, those that aren't so easy to be patient with, those that annoy us, those that have made stupid mistakes and have made their own bed and done their own deeds, and for goodness sake, let them stew in their juices. That's not the attitude of Jesus. The least of these. If you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. I don't know who the least of these would be in your life, but imagine them and hear the words of the Lord and the principle of generosity. God even calls us to be generous to the undeserving. That's a little bit harder to wrestle with, to be generous to the undeserving. Whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. The second principle of giving is understanding that God does amazing things with what we give Him when we have a generous spirit. God can multiply. God can change lives. Little as much when God is in it. You know, when our heart's right and we give from the heart, God can use it to do things that we might not even be able to imagine it. God chooses ordinary people following His call to compassion to touch and change lives. God uses people who are willing, who have a heart that loves and cares in order to make a difference in the lives of other people. Little as much when God is in it. The little boy might not have thought, well, my few fish and loaves of bread, what could they do? And God used it to multiply and feed thousands of people. And other stories in the Bible are of very ordinary people, some who are very afraid and timid to use what they had, to use their abilities that God had given them. They didn't even think they had any ability, but God called them to do. God gave them a job, and they're willing to do it, and God used them in a mighty way. And who knows whose life you can touch? We've been talking a lot about Billy Graham and about reaching out to the circle of influence. And I don't know that I've talked a lot about this circle, but there is a circle of compassion in your life, of people that are hurting, of people that maybe are left behind, and maybe God can use you to care about them and show them as well. Another principle, a third principle of giving and compassion that is so important, and I've alluded to it already, is the heart issue of giving. God wants your heart more than He wants your wallet. I mean, if He has your heart, then He has your wallet. If God has the right spirit within you, then God will show you what's right about your finances and your possessions and your time. If your heart is right with God, then you will be at peace about whatever God allows you to have or not have or to give or to not be able to give if your heart is right with Him. Far more than the content of your offering is the core of your heart and importance to God. God wants your heart. If He has your heart, then the compassion will be just right. If He has your heart, the compassion will be right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have." Again, if the willingness is there, if your heart's right, if you're not tight-fisted, but if you let it go, then God will show you what's right for you. And you'll be blessed in it if you do. In the next chapter, it says each man should give what he has decided to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, as a preacher, I call for offerings often. We raise money for all kinds of things, some things here and some things away. Thinking of wells in India, for example, and how you responded to that request to I was thinking two or three wells that we could dig in India and help, and you gave enough for eight. We got two down and six to dig, you know, over there, so it takes a while. But just things like that, you've been so willing to give, and I just want to say thank you for that. And that's just one of so many things. Supporting missions around the world, Philadelphia, in our community, needs around us. I just want to say thank you to all that you've done. I don't ever want to be one of those compulsive pastors that have to compel people to give. I hate doing that. I just want to invite you to enjoy the opportunity. And as God blesses you, have the opportunity to give, because truly you will be blessed if you do. One day Jesus was at the temple, we're told in Luke chapter 21. This principle about the heart is important. And in Luke chapter 21, verse 1, it says, Jesus looked up. And let me read what happened. Said Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put two very small copper coins in. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has put in much more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put all that she had to live on. See this dear woman, she gave what she had. She couldn't give more than she had, but she gave sacrificially. There's another principle about giving is you can give out of your abundance or you can give sacrificially. This woman gave sacrificially. She didn't give as much as the other people, but you know, I kind of got the picture of Jesus watched the other people come in and drop those coins in and how proud they were that they were able to do that. And yeah, Jesus saw the heart of this woman who just gave what she could, more than she could, and how Jesus commended her and recognized that God sees our hearts. He sees the generosity, or He sees the tight-fistedness. He kind of sees that range in us. And He knows that we are blessed when we give from our hearts. He wants our hearts. When I was traveling a year ago, it's been almost a year, can't believe it, it was in Israel, early October, and of the many places that I visited I loved was the bodies of water that were there. Of course, you know I love water. Everywhere I go, I try to swim if I can. But the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea were just neat places to go to and be there. Sea of Galilee is beautiful, I think. A lot of wildlife and birds and fish. And, you know, it's just a neat place to go. The Dead Sea is different. You go down there and you get in to float on top, you know. It's completely dead. There's nothing living inside of it. And I read a quote about the Dead Sea that reminded me so much about generosity. It went something like this. The Dead Sea is dead because it only receives and never gives. You see, the water flows down from the north into the Dead Sea from the Jordan River, although it's more like the Jordan Creek now, but it comes down into the, and it never goes. There's no outlets, but it just sits there until it evaporates and it's gone. Leaves behind the strong chemicals and you know all that stuff. You know, it never gives out. It's become dry and lifeless. That's the way it is with generosity. You know, when you're tight-fisted, that's what you become. You become like the Dead Sea. You become occupied. You can't let it go. You become, you're always thinking about it. You're always talking about it. You're always sometimes kind of either complaining or you kind of got a bitter spirit inside of you. And boy, God wants to deliver you from that. He wants you to be like the Sea of Galilee. Life flows in and it flows out. Just wondering this morning if there might be some hooks out there that Satan's using in your life with a tight-fisted. God would say if you want to be blessed, you got to be able to let it go. God wants you to have that joy in your heart. The fourth principle of giving is that of blessing. That truly, when we give, we're blessed. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. We read in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 22 says, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Another place in Proverbs says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others himself will also be refreshed. Truly having a giving heart brings joy and contentment to life. It brings a fulfillment to what God's designed us to do and to be. Jesus said, give it and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your life. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I just think of a bushel basket. And I think of God just pouring the grain into our lives. And it's just overflowing on the sides and the edges. And the more it comes out, the more He can put in. Truly, with caring for people, that's the way it is. When you love people, whatever means God gives you, whether it's through financial or through your words or through your actions, taking time to care for people, if you do that, God will bless you and pour over your lives and your heart. That is a principle of giving. It's a principle of giving yourself away to God. We are always blessed when we give from the heart to help other people, whether it's in words or money or compassion. Jesus' words are so true. It is better to give than to receive. Romans chapter 15, Paul was journeying back to Jerusalem with an offering for the poor. He was grateful for them and their generosity. And he expressed that in not only in Romans 15, but it's also in Acts and also in the book of Corinthians, the story of the giving of the saints of Achaia and Macedonia. And I also want to say to you again this morning how grateful I am as your pastor that you're caring people. I have seen this church meet needs and love people and care for people in some pretty neat ways in the 11 years that I've been your pastor. This is a giving church. This is a church of people that have given a lot of ways over its 80-year history. There have been countless people, probably hundreds and hundreds of people whose lives have been impacted because of the faithfulness of this church family, financially and in many other ways, as you've loved people and cared for them. And also, I just think of all the ways that you've done missions work around the world for 80 years. It's just been incredible, the stories. In the last 10 years, your faithfulness to missions and working witness and Alabaster and just projects all over the place in many different ways and places. I just want to say thank you for that, for your generosity. You've touched many people inside this church and outside this church. One of the ways ongoing that we as a church try to help people in this community is through our help fund. Our help fund is a way that God allows us to try to meet some needs of people who request it either from our church family or from the community. Our help fund team is made up. Our leaders are made up three people that have been chosen by a Love and Share Ministries, and those three people are given the requests that come in for help financially. And they pray about them, and they kind of weigh them, and they interview people, and they gather information, and they make decisions about how to meet the needs that are brought to the church. Many times they come phone calls to the church. We get sometimes one or two or three or four a week of people who ask for help financially. And we're not always able to meet the needs. We don't always think it's the right thing to do, but we try our best to apply biblical principles about needs and compassion and mercy and helping people to make good decisions. And this help fund team evaluates those requests and oversees it. Since we last received an offering to replenish our help fund, which has been about a year and a half, we have given out about $9,600 in our help fund, about half to people in our church family for needs in their church and the other half for people that call from outside the community. Just want to give you a little bit of a summary for that. It's about half. So our help fund is now, we've been using it and giving to people over the last year and a half. People put a little bit in as we go, but basically that amount we raised a year and a half ago now is down to about $1,500. So we realize that if we're going to continue to meet needs, that we need to replenish that fund and build that back up in order to be able to meet needs. We know that when weather gets cold, we start getting calls from people. Some are needs that we believe are legitimate and we should respond to, and some we don't do. But there will be needs. There will be people that call and ask for help. Some will be within our church family and some will be from outside. And what we've done with our help fund for the last year and a half, basically provide food for people that say that they need it, medicine, sometimes rent and utilities, although those are big ticket items and we don't always do that, and we don't always meet the whole need. Sometimes we do part of the need, but the help fund team tries to pray about it and be good stewards. These are not easy decisions to make, as you know, because we want to be wise stewards of what God gives us. And some people would just take it all if we would let them, you know. That's the reality out there, and they're illegitimate needs. But there are also many, many people that have real needs, and we want to be faithful and compassionate. And so that's why that team evaluates those. Clothing, we've helped build a couple of handicap ramps and a whole number of other things that have been covered by the help fund. But basically our fund's about out. We need to replenish it. So that's why we're receiving an offering today. You might come and give today, and others would give over the next few weeks. And some people give every week or every month as you give opportunity. But if you mark it help fund, it will be set aside and it will not be used for anything except these requests that come in as administered by the help fund team. We want you to know that we're doing our best to be good stewards. Joanne Sowers is our help fund team leader. And then there's two other people that are part of that help fund team. And they consider those requests, and we're going to receive an offering this morning for our help fund. If God gives you the ability, and you can, and you choose to, invite you to do that.